In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're very blessed here at the Oratory to have so many high masses. Even during Lent, especially this time of year, it is not for any other motive that here in the Institute we have placed so many feast days to be celebrated solemnly during Lent. This is simply where our patrons fall during the year. And as I pointed out to you 2 days ago, for the feast of glorious Saint Joseph, it is no accident that the Church has placed certain feast days during Lent. Certain feast days always fall during Lent, and Saint Benedict is one of them. And as with any feast day during Lent, we must commemorate this feria during Lent. Today is Thursday in the second week of Lent, and that must be commemorated at Mass. It is today, and today the last gospel will not be the usual gospel of St. John, but rather the last gospel that we would have heard if we had celebrated the Mass of Lent today. And it is truly in this juxtaposition of the temporal cycle and the sanctoral cycle that we see the veritable inspiration of our holy liturgy. For once again, just as was the case of St. Joseph, today we find for the last gospel one which is familiar to most of us and one which fits perfectly with the feast of St. Benedict, especially when we consider it in light of the gospel which was just chanted for this feast. The gospel for today, during Lent, is the gospel of the rich man and Lazarus. We all know the story that is told to us by our Lord, that this rich man who denied poor Lazarus any food, any nourishment, any sustenance, but only could he simply eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And this poor afflicted Lazarus would have only dogs to come and console him and lick his sores. We are told that the poor man died and was borne away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man died and was buried in hell. Lifting up his eyes, being in torments, he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime hast received good things, Lazarus in like manner evil things. For now here he is comforted, whereas thou art tormented." How striking, indeed haunting, when we consider these words, which must indeed haunt us to some degree, when we consider that it is possible that they might one day be spoken to any of us if we fail to practice the virtue of charity here in this life. How much, I say, must they contrast with the words we have heard in today's gospel? For Peter, speaking for all the apostles, approaches our Lord and declares, "Behold, we have forsaken all things and followed thee. What then shall be ours?" Note what he has said. As the fathers comment on this passage, they note that even the pagans had an idea of the contempt of riches. That riches were only a passing joy. So many of the philosophers, especially the Stoics, were capable of arriving at this conclusion. This shines very dimly in comparison to the virtue which we have just heard extolled by Peter. Not only has he said, "We have forsaken all things," He says, "And we have followed thee." What sums up the work of glorious Saint Benedict more than these words, which are sung for his feast day? "We have forsaken all things and followed thee." This is the meaning of Saint Benedict's words at the beginning of his rule, when he declares that we have come to found a school. What sort of school? Not a school for worldly learning. "We have not," he says, "forsaken all the things of the world, embraced poverty, chastity, and obedience." No, we have not done these things in order to obtain any worldly knowledge, any temporary gain. Saint Benedict declares we leave behind all things and practice all the virtues which we find on the cross: poverty, chastity, obedience, charity in the heart of our Lord. All of these founded on the base of the cross, where we find the virtue of humility, so brilliantly developed by Saint Benedict in his rule. All of these things we do to found a school of the service of the Lord. These schools of God's service, where the true Opus Dei was practiced throughout Europe over countless centuries, this was what obtained the conversion of pagan Europe, such that great Saint Gregory, when he wished to convert a new country, Britain being one shining example, immediately sent Benedictine monks there, knowing that if they established within this pagan country these schools of God's service, the entire country would soon be converted to Christ. This, as we know, was the life which Gregory wanted for himself. He wanted nothing else. It was only in obedience to Almighty God that he accepted the supreme charge of the papacy. For he knew well the words of our Lord in response to what we have heard from Peter today: "Behold, we have forsaken all things and followed thee. What then shall be ours?" We know well the promises of Christ, and so, as much as we must fall down in adoration and thanksgiving for the words "eternal life," we are, thanks to the promises of Christ, not surprised to hear this portion of the answer. No, we are not surprised when our Lord replies to Peter, "In reward for what you have done, you shall obtain eternal life." But surely we must be a little surprised by what follows. Not only does our Lord say, in the end, eternal life, he says that those who have forsaken all things to follow him will obtain in this life already a hundredfold. This is the mystery of religious life, to which Saint Benedict introduced all people of the West. Yes, we leave behind all things and enter the school of the service of the Lord in order to obtain eternal life. For the goods of this world are nothing in comparison to that pearl of great price. But we are promised by our Savior that if we do so, if we embrace the religious vocation, we shall obtain a hundredfold even here and now. For as countless saints have told us, both within and without the school of Saint Benedict, the religious life is already a paradise on earth. Already we have set our heart there on the only true riches. And so even the sufferings of this life are an indescribable joy for religious, for they are happy to spend their purgatory here. For what else is purgatory than a great school of the saints? God in his mercy does not damn all those who fail to reach perfection here in this life. Hell is for obstinate mortal sin. God in his mercy does welcome those who have not practiced perfection in this life according to their state. But that is why we have purgatory. Those who have not spent a life purely devoted to the love of God have a chance to do so in purgatory, for they are in the state of grace, yet separated for a time from the object of their love. This is the suffering of the saints, the suffering of all those who embrace the way of perfection, which we find in the school of the service of the Lord, founded by our mighty Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict, patron of Christian civilization, father of monasticism, patron of all religious vocations, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.